from the number one sports site in the world.
Yahoo!
This is Yahoo Sports Radio.
YahooSportsRadio.com.
Welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Yelovich is an own goal! It's an own goal!
With your host, Joe Mago. From Yahoo Sports and Yahoo Sports Radio.
It's right! It's a landslide!
Joe Mago and all the insiders from the FC Yahoo Soccer Blog bring you coverage of soccer across the world.
Premier League,
MLS,
Champions League,
La Liga,
Serie A,
and Bundesliga. It's all the coverage from soccer across the world.
This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast.
Oh, it's good in!
Right now. From the Yahoo Sports headquarters in Playa Vista, California, here's your host, Joe Mago.
Hello and welcome to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. I'm Joe Mago, editor of the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports. And joining me on this episode to talk soccer here in the Playa Vista podcasting room in Los Angeles are Shahan Ahmed,
dressed in all black,
and Joey Galino.
I was made to understand that someone would get served on the podcast today earlier.
Ooh, it got testy. And as always, well, he was out last week, but he's back. Coming to us from New York via Skype is Leander Charlakens.
The caviar delivery has not made it to me here in New York, even though I was told this podcast would be catered.
Oh, man.
We're wondering if the technology supports such things in your part of New York. You're like an hour outside, so it's out in the countryside.
This lobster tastes pretty good here in the, I would say.
Guys, look, we're here to talk about Champions League, the semifinal ties that wrapped up this week. Two semifinal ties that were complete opposites as far as drama and entertainment value. On Tuesday, Atletico Madrid went to Germany with a 1-0 lead and held on for a 2-2 aggregate tie to advance on an away goal that came from a pretty cool counter by Antoine Griezmann. But then, for all that excitement, we were forced to watch. We all paid dearly, as Lando wrote in his recap, to watch Real Madrid and Manchester City struggle through another 90 minutes of sleep-inducing soccer. Fittingly, an own goal by Fernando in the 20th minute turned out to be the difference in San Real to another All Madrid final. Let's cut to the chase, guys. Based on these semifinal performances, who will win the Champions League final on May 28th in Milan?
Atletico Madrid for me. I mean, these two teams met 2 years ago. You know, the final in Lisbon, it was a great final. Atleti pretty much had it won, and then Sergio Ramos hits that header. You know, everyone remembers that header, and that's the moment that stands out. But one moment that really should stand out was Diego Costa coming off in the 10th minute. Atleti wasn't close to 100% in that game. And they still did enough to pretty much win that game. They lost in stoppage time and then, you know, fell apart in extra time. But when you look at this Atletico Madrid versus that Atletico Madrid, I would say that this one is more complete. They're actually a couple years advanced. And then you look at that Real Madrid where the Benzema, Bale, Ronaldo trident had really started clicking all of a sudden. And you compare it to this year's Real Madrid, and I don't think this year is nearly as good as they were in 2014. So when you look at those two teams head-to-head, I think Atleti's actually advanced and Real's actually regressed a little bit. Head-to-head, you know, Zidane's only had two losses since he took over as manager. One of those losses was a 1-0 to Atletico Madrid. So he hasn't entirely figured out that puzzle either. I think in order for him, you know, if he was to do it, that'd be tremendous. That'd be incredible. But if you were to ask me, you know, on a neutral field, which is what it is, although, you know, Diego Simeone did play at Inter, so he does know the San Siro a little bit, I would imagine. But it is a neutral field. I take Atletico Madrid. I know they're technically not the favorites, according to the odds makers right now. But at the same time, you know, you just take this team over 90 minutes against Real Madrid. I take Atleti.
Yeah, when you search for a reason to pick against Atletico Madrid, which, you know, it's not that we necessarily want either team to win or lose, but when you think through the process, like that game a couple of years ago, if it is any sort of referendum on this, I agree, it definitely portends that Atleti will win because they played the way they wanted to play. I think they conceded like 70% possession to Real Madrid. As you said, Costa went off early, but they got the goal from Diego Godin early, and it was just Sergio Ramos's header in stoppage time that forced extra time, and by then Atleti was spent. But it's incredibly hard to break down this side when you're firing at all cylinders, and this Real Madrid side, I don't think any of us think, despite what they, you know, advancing this far, is firing on all cylinders, because Ronaldo is coming back from injury. I guess you could say it's positive that they have some more time now to get Karim Benzema reincorporated into the team. But is it going to be enough? Because Simeone's got Atleti playing very well, and I agree that it seems like they've progressed a little bit more over the past couple of years, whereas Real Madrid has regressed. And I think this is going to be a big referendum on Zidane. You mentioned he's only lost twice, I think, across all competitions since he took this job. And you look at what he's done, and it's very, very impressive. It's very commendable. But you almost wonder, okay, does he really have anything more? He's clearly got the pulse of this team. He's clearly got them in the right mind frame, so to speak. But is there anything beyond that? Are we going to see some kind of tactical masterclass? Are we going to see some kind of motivational masterclass from Zidane? Because that's what they're going to need to get the job done.
Yeah, I mean, Atletico Madrid, for me, you look at how, if they were to win this final, you look at who they beat in the quarterfinal, semifinal, and final, it's the last three winners of the Champions League. You're talking Bayern Munich, Barcelona. You know, these are the big, big teams that they weren't supposed to beat, and then Real Madrid is the third, obviously, if they get over this last hurdle. Now, the neutral field thing, for a lot of teams, it's a bit of a quandary in terms of how you set up. Do you set up more defensively? Do you set up... You know, we talked about this last week, going into the second leg away at Bayern Munich. I said, no, he's going to start Griezmann and Torres, because they have their 11. They play with their 11. They play with their guys. Yes, they will drop a little bit further back based on the pressure, and they're very comfortable doing that. But if you ask Atletico Madrid now, they have their team. They know who they're taking to the San Siro. They know who they're going to play with, and they trust those guys. There's a level of comfort there. And, you know, whenever you look at sports, you know, you think about that Bayern Munich losing to Chelsea when, you know, obviously Drogba had the header and they went on penalty kicks. That next year, it was about redemption. And for Atletico Madrid, I think there's a lot of that element is alive and well in terms of they feel like they were robbed in 2014. That was their title to win, and it got snatched away from them in the last moments of that game. I think they have more of a purpose and a presence in terms of actually going out and winning this final. Real Madrid did it a couple years ago. They're kind of in transition. I'm not entirely sure. They haven't entirely looked convincing at all points in time. I mean, they went to Wolfsburg and just got smashed. They haven't been perfect by any means, even under Zidane. So I don't think that this match is necessarily set up for them to win it. They have the they obviously have Ronaldo. That goes without saying. When you have that guy, you can win.
Well, that's why, don't you think that's why Real Madrid is the clear-cut favorite? Is because we still have, we're taping on May 4th, the final's on May 28th. There's still 24 days. We don't know, you know, we could have a fully, you know, healthy Ronaldo. We don't know what's going on with Karim Benzema, but I think that's why, if you on paper, still Real Madrid and that firepower might be enough to get past the Atleti's side that, like you said, has knocked off all the favorites in this Champions League. But isn't Ronaldo the X factor here?
Well, the odds are kind of set up in terms of actually, you know, betting and how they try and balance out the bets. So I think intrinsically, Real Madrid just has a larger following, is going to get more bets placed on them regardless. So they're going to be a favorite, even if it was a 50-50, you know, split even. But sorry, Leander, go ahead.
No, that's fine. I agree with Joe. I mean, I think Champions League finals are sort of their own thing, and form for the rest of the season tends not to apply in really big games like that. It's like a World Cup final in that sense. And in that regard, I'm not sure that the 2014 final is all that relevant. I mean, there's an awful lot of the same personnel that's still going to be on the field. It's only two seasons apart, after all. And a lot of like-for-like switches, I think, where the players aren't the same. But at the same time, you know, this is its own game, right? Because if we're going to take that last final as evidence, we have a sample size of one. And any scientist is going to tell you that's not a very good basis of evidence. I think a lot of these games come down to having difference makers and having guys that, you know, can make that one play, force that one ball, be that a little bit more efficient with a chance. And I think Real just has more of those guys. I think Cristiano Ronaldo missed the first leg of the semifinals and totally wasn't himself in the second leg on Wednesday. I think that was pretty obvious, but he's coming back from an injury. But I don't see that happening to him again. You've got a lot of guys, and I hate to use the word clutch because I think it's a strange and a word that can't be substantiated. But I think Real has more guys that can really rise to that occasion and make the difference on the day. Even though Atletico is sort of purposely built to withstand Real's pressure and actually won the last time they faced each other, which I believe is the second to last time the Real lost the game, which was February 27th when Atletico won at the Bernabeu on Antoine Griezmann's goal.
Yeah, I think, you know, you bring up, it is a good point to say that, okay, just because they played a certain way in the Champions League final 2 years ago, that's not impactful this time around. But I think it does kind of offer a window into what kind of match we can expect. And in terms of sample size, I think the sample size since then between the two teams meeting across all competitions, I think Atleti's won five times and drawn four times or something. Like, so I think that they've got a read on their local rival here in that regard. And I think that after what they did, kind of going back to what Sean said for a second, like if they're probably thinking to themselves, okay, we went to Barcelona and Bayern Munich the last two times and got results. We lost those games, but overall we won the war. We got results. Now all you're doing is asking us to, you know, withstand Real Madrid, who's not as good as they were a couple years ago, who we've had their number recently over 90 minutes in one stadium, one leg to get the championship, like, or to get the Champions League victory. I think that they're going to be very encouraged by that.
That's an entirely different equation, though, because two leg ties and a final are just different math.
Right.
I mean, because you can't just sort of, you know, bunker your way through the first game, get a goal, and then bunker your way through the rest of the second game. I mean, it's a one off, and somebody has to win that game.
Yeah.
So I think that maybe might trip Atletico up a little bit, where it's just not their usual game plan, where they just kind of try to limit the damage in the first game and then try to steal something in the second. I mean, they're going to have to, if they want to win that game, they're going to have to score a goal, which is different from half the knockout games that they've played so far.
Well, you were talking about Griezmann being the one who scored in that 1-0. I mean, he has 31 goals in 51 matches for Atleti this season, 7 and 12 in the Champions League. He's been their guy, so, you know, if he scored against Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, I think I can foresee him scoring at the San Siro against Real Madrid. It's Atleti, you know, sets up with the same guys. They have those same interchanges, and they know how to get back on the break after absorbing pressure. And Griezmann has a lot to do with that, because he actually has stunning speed that people don't entirely always see, because Atleti's not on the ball as much. But you could see, okay, he might have been slightly offside on that play, but that speed has come out several points this season. If you've been watching Atletico, you've noticed that, especially on the break, he's one of the most dangerous players, and he can finish. So do I think that Real can get caught out? Yeah, because based on the evidence that we saw, Griezmann has scored against them. They have had Real's number in recent years. It seems like it's set up for Atleti to beat Real. Real obviously has better players on the whole, but are they a better team on the whole? I'm not entirely convinced.
The spotlight's been on these managers, Diego Simeone and Zinedine Zidane. Zidane mostly because he was actually finally was able to not tear his trousers during one of these Champions League games. I mean, it was only an own goal. He couldn't really get that excited about it. But let's talk about Diego Simeone. You know, Leander wrote in his recap on Tuesday that he, you know, likely is the most respected manager in world soccer right now. I'm going to ratchet that up a notch. I mean, is he doing the best job of any manager in world soccer right now?
I think there's a definitional problem in being able to say that, because like we were talking about before we started the podcast, how do you define the best? Is it the guy that does the most with the least? Is it the guy that has his team playing the best? Or is it, and again, how do you define the best? The prettiest soccer, maybe? Or is it the guy that's winning the most? So it's kind of hard to say that. I think along with Claudio Ranieri, he certainly is up there with the guys who's getting the most out of his talent. You know, it's hard to watch sometimes, though. And as a Dutchman personally, I'm sort of more prone to the aesthetics of the game, and I find it hard to watch Atletico's games when they're playing against the bigger clubs and they just kind of sit in. So in that sense, you might say that Guardiola is a better manager because it's always or almost always very pretty. But I think that he's the most respected manager right now, because when you consider that Atletico has about a third the revenue of what Real Madrid and Barcelona and Bayern Munich do, what he's doing at that club is extraordinary.
Yeah, for me, he is definitely, I think he stands out. And it's not just about the Champions League and making it to the final. Obviously, that result speaks for itself. But you look at him in La Liga, he has as many wins, draws. He has the exact identical record with Barcelona right now. They're level on points. The only difference is, you know, head-to-head, which Barcelona got the edge on in La Liga. But you look at defensively what he's been able to do with Atletico Madrid. I mean, they play for each other so hard every single game. In La Liga, they've only allowed 16 goals in 36 matches. That's ridiculous. I mean, that just doesn't happen. Now, on the flip side, you know, kind of hinting at what Leander said, they've only scored 60. And when you compare that with Real Madrid, who has 105, and Barcelona, who has 104, it's not close to those guys on the attacking side of the ball. But that being said, you know, 16 goals is half as many as Real Madrid's conceded. So defensively, he's been able to get the most out of his guys. They played their style. He is the best manager for that team, without a doubt. I think he would do a great job anywhere he went, because tactically he's a very, very sound guy. And like I said, results speak for themselves. He edged out Barcelona a couple years ago in the league. He went to the Champions League final, almost won it 2 years ago. He's back in the Champions League final this year, and he's tied on points with Barcelona and could win La Liga again this year. You're talking about going against Real Madrid and Barcelona year in and year out and actually competing against these guys, not just in Europe but also in Spain.
Could you foresee Simeone leaving Atletico for a bigger job? I mean, he's gotten respect for what he's been able to do with what he has against Barcelona and Real Madrid, really. But he's been linked with, you know, well, the British media love to link him with any big club in England. But what is the incentive for him to leave?
I think there's, at a certain point you run out of challenges, and he might get sick of always having to swim against the tide and having to compete with these teams that have so much more money than he does. But I think the other side of that equation is important as well, because managers like Simeone, who are maybe not bully type of managers to their players, but they're demanding managers, and they're guys that are sort of constantly asking for the most out of their players. And you know, they're not playing very fun soccer. It's not fun to play the way Atletico Madrid plays, as anybody who's played somewhat competitive soccer would know. You know, bunkering in all the time, you're just kind of running after, and the other team is getting to play the soccer. Again, maybe that's a Dutchman talking. But there is typically managers like that don't have a super long shelf life, because aside from it not being fun to play that way, asking that much from your players, especially in this day and age where players have all the power, they pretty much decide who their manager is. They get to, rise up against their manager if they don't like how they're being treated or they don't like the playing style. For a guy to last as long as he has, he came in the 2011-2012 season, I believe in October of that year, I'm not entirely sure. But so he's almost completed five seasons. You know, he's got sort of three full seasons and parts of two more, I believe. And to have lasted that long and to have demanded so much from his players is quite remarkable. So you do wonder if at some point he sees the writing on the wall there, and he wonders maybe if the magic is going to kind of run out, and if he maybe leaves before that happens, which might be advisable.
Yeah, I think he kind of reminds me of Jurgen Klopp in some ways, because for years Jurgen Klopp stood up to the big bad wolf in the Bundesliga, which is Bayern Munich, and did a great job with Borussia Dortmund, which is still a big club but doesn't have necessarily the resources of the biggest club in Germany. And while he's not necessarily the same kind of manager that Diego Simeone is, both of them get their players to buy in, and both have a ton of players that will vouch for them and speak on their behalf. And that's important. And I think that in terms of Simeone leaving Atletico Madrid, it's kind of hard to envision, unless it's something where he has, where, you know, he, again, he does get sick of butting his head against Barcelona and Real Madrid and their superior resources every year, and maybe he moves on to a newer challenge with maybe a more well-funded club, kind of like Jurgen Klopp did, you know, a Liverpool, like a tradition-fallen club that is on hard times and maybe wants to be rescued, like a Chelsea, for example, or an Arsenal in the Premier League if he's looking to go to England, and I'm sure you could find examples elsewhere like that. But yeah, he reminds me a ton of Jurgen Klopp in that regard.
You said Klopp, not Klinsmann, right?
Right.
just checking.
Do we want to talk about Klinsmann?
I think that's a whole another hour-long podcast.
Let's not get Leander all riled up, right, guys?
I think we have a whole summer for that.
Yes,
go ahead,
do.
Sean.
No, I was just going to say, I think Simeone genuinely enjoys picking on Barcelona and Real Madrid and pulling those upsets. As long as he can keep doing that, I don't see him leaving. Once it gets to the point, or if it gets to the point where he can't upset them and their Atletico's back to being that team that lost for a decade straight to Real Madrid and they can't really hang in the city or hang in La Liga anymore and they're, you know, distant third or fourth, I think then, yeah, that it'll go stale for him because of where he has been able to bring the club. He's not going to be satisfied with being that third or fourth wheel in La Liga. Right now, he's not. He's progressed past, you know, Barcelona in the Champions League, and in La Liga, he's ahead of Real Madrid and really challenging Barcelona. So as long as he's competing, I don't think there's any reason he would want to leave.
I'm gonna ask this, though, but how many big clubs would want this style of play? I mean, all big clubs aspire to playing attractive soccer. Leander?
That's exactly the point I was going to make, because there's a limited number of clubs that are going to want to employ him, because obviously he's not going to start playing tiki-taka. I mean, he's basically made his career on doing the opposite of that, and he plays sort of destructive soccer. So now if he were to be appointed at say, Arsenal, I think they'd be glad for 6 months, the fans, but then there'd be some kind of mutiny over the playing style. I mean, there are certain clubs where the fans and sort of the culture of the club just wouldn't tolerate that kind of destructive style. So in that sense, maybe a club like Chelsea is better suited for him, which had no issue with Mourinho, you know, taking all those bunkering 1-0 wins for all those years. You know, there are certain clubs where you can do that and certain where you cannot. So, you know, it's not like he can go manage Barcelona.
Yeah, this can kind of bring things back full circle here. I sort of think that that's key to the question about, is Diego Simeone the best manager currently working right now, or is he the best manager in the game right now, however you want to phrase it. Because to me, I agree that there has to be a caveat to it in terms of what that specifically means. And to me, I can't think of another team that's got the manager's imprint on it more than Atletico Madrid has Diego Simeone's imprint on it. And that may not necessarily work somewhere else who, as Leander said, doesn't want to play kind of that like bunker, destructive style of play. And so that's where I think, you know, you could make an argument for other managers. Like, you know, one guy who we'll talk about later but hasn't really been brought up yet, I think Carlo Ancelotti, wherever he goes, he adapts and he wins. He wins Europe, he wins leagues, and so that kind of manager, you could make an argument, do you want to say that constitutes success? But, you know, there's no way to say that Simeone hasn't been successful. It's just a question of perspective on the matter.
I want to throw this out there. Why does Simeone get credit for... I mean, this is the harshest thing I've ever heard, Leander's description of it, but destructive soccer. And Mourinho gets labeled with parking the bus. And all the negative connotation that goes with that.
I think maybe because...
Money they've spent on the players, right?
Isn't right. I think, you know, Chelsea's spent more, and I think they have, in general, more of a chance to play that way. And I think that, again, we've kind of talked about this on the last couple podcasts, Atleti does play an attractive brand of soccer here and there. It's just they can't do it in the matches that get the most, you know, publication, get the most attention, because you can't do that at Bayern Munich. You can't do that at Barcelona. Maybe not even against Real Madrid if they're clicking on all cylinders. So whereas you sort of have to do it if you're Atletico Madrid. Sometimes Mourinho, I think, was a little too slave to the Premier League grind and the style of that league, and instead of kind of turning loose his weapons, he kind of bunkered down a little too much for fans' likings.
So I should be watching Atletico against Getafe more.
Yes, you should. why didn't you watch them against Real?
I'm an American that mispronounces everything.
I think it's a matter of branding. I mean, Simeone makes no pretenses about the soccer that he's going to play. I mean, and it sort of comes through in everything. He buys defenders. He buys bruising midfielders. Insofar as he does his own transfers, I'm not sure. And he buys very, very quick attackers that can sort of get him the goals that he needs sort of on the break so that they can be in contention for the league title, as Shahan says, with only half as many goals as the other teams. But Mourinho, I think, always packaged it a little bit differently. He would never really necessarily admit that they were playing such negative soccer, and he would buy sort of these really talented playmakers, you know, guys like Oscar and Hazard and all these other guys. And sort of there were games where they played really nice soccer, I mean, for a little while, and then it got to the business end of the season, and then he'd sort of pack it in. But he'd never really admit that, and I think that's where you have sort of the disconnect, where he pretended that his teams did something differently than they really did.
Yep. Look for me, I mean, we were talking about this like a month or two ago when Conte hadn't been given the Chelsea job, and the talk was that Simeone could go to Chelsea. And Joe, you were ecstatic. You're like, I hope it's Simeone.
I was.
And the thing is that's true for most of the clubs, I think, in world football right now. If you offer them Diego Simeone, they'd take him because he's a good manager who has good results, and right now he's the manager of the moment. Most big clubs would not be averse to hiring the manager of the moment. They tend to do that. They tend to want to do that. I think he's an anomaly in the sense that he's kind of found a long-term home at Atletico potentially if he wants it. And right now the club is more than satisfied having him there. He seems satisfied to be there. But you really think that he wouldn't, you know, if Manchester United came up and offered him a job and he wanted that job, you think United would not want him in place?
They'd
of course
the
they
chance.
Would. They'd want him in there. Chelsea would want him too. These are big clubs. If Pep wasn't coming to City would want him there too. You know, Arsenal is kind of one of those anomalies, but that's because Wenger is never going to leave. outside of that, like, really, okay, you probably don't want him at Real Madrid or Barcelona just because he's been the enemy for, you know, growing for a few years now. But, you know, AC Milan, Inter Milan, most teams, like, I think Allegri's done a great job at Juve, and I've said this, you know, pretty consistently. I think he's still underrated. I think every big club in Europe should be going after him. But most clubs right now, including PSG, if you want to win the Champions League, why would you not take a guy who's been in the Champions League final twice with a squad that, frankly, wasn't meant to be in the Champions League final? I think it's one of those things where, yes, from a marketing perspective, you can say that, but winning is the best marketing, and he wins.
Guys, we started out by previewing the Champions League final. I'm going to put you guys on the spot. Quickly go around the horn here. Give me your predictions for the May 28th final in Milan. We'll start with Shahan.
Atletico 1-0.
Leander.
Real Madrid 2-1 after extra time.
Ooh, like that. Joey.
I'm going to go a little bit outside the box here. I think Atletico is going to surprise everybody and play a little more aggressively and try to impose their will on Real Madrid possession-wise. So I think they're going to win 2-0.
I'm going to go 1-1, and we're going to PKs, and I'm going to pick Atletico.
Can I just do one last shout-out to Jan Oblak, who, you know, Manuel Neuer gets credited as being the top goalkeeper in the world. But this season, I don't know how you can make an argument against Jan Oblak for Atletico Madrid. He's been clean sheet after clean sheet. And, you know, granted, they scored two goals, one of which was a deflection. He's just been tremendous. He's been the best goalkeeper on the planet for the last 12 months. And, you know, if you want to go back even last year, he was a rock. He's been good ever since he came in. And coming in under the pressure of, you know, following the footsteps of Courtois and De Gea to come into Atletico, where they do sit back and they do let teams shoot on them, and they do kind of let them shoot on him is probably a little bit of an exaggeration, but their shots do get in. He does have to actually do work. It's not the Neuer situation where he's playing a sweeper keeper, occasionally coming out and maybe getting like one or two saves a game. He actually has to work every game, and he's done an incredible job.
Guys, let's take a short timeout. After the break, we'll talk about the teams who fell short of the Champions League final. That would be Bayern Munich and Manchester City. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast, direct from the FC Yahoo Soccer blog at yahoosports.com. And if you're looking for a sports radio morning show that is just a little bit more entertaining and has a little bit of fun, along with all your coverage of sports every morning, check out the Steve Zabin Show, direct from Yahoo Sports Radio.
I guess your friend Roseman here, Scott, your people, doesn't keep kosher, huh? Pepperoni and sausage.
I guess not.
Shonda.
Well,
my people. A guy whose last name ends in a consonant.
You're allowed to say sausage, right? You just can't eat it. Or is it?
Do what you want, but no, by the rules of kosher, yeah, you're not supposed to eat pork product.
Eat, but you can say the word.
Of course you can.
Oh, okay, good. Just check. If you were to rank your pizza meats,
here we go.
Go ahead and rank them.
Which
pepperoni?
Throw me some meats.
Pepperoni. You've got one.
Meats, right.
Canadian bacon.
That's not bad.
Two.
Yeah.
Sausage. Three.
Okay.
Hamburger meat. Four. No, wait a minute. Barbecue chicken is three. Sausage, hamburger.
Pineapple and ham? Those are okay.
No.
Hawaiian?
Steve Zabin. Mornings, 6 a.m. until 10 a.m. Eastern on Yahoo Sports Radio. Listen live and check out the podcast of The Steve Zabin Show. YahooSportsRadio.com. It's time to get back to everything. Football and soccer from across the world. This is the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. From Yahoo Sports Radio and Yahoo Sports. Once again, your host, Joe Lago.
Welcome back to the FC Yahoo Soccer Podcast. I'm Joe Lago, editor of the FC Yahoo Soccer blog. Here with me talking soccer are my fellow bloggers, Shahan Ahmed, Joey Galino, and Leander Charlakins. Guys, let's turn this conversation to the semifinal losers in the Champions League, starting with Bayern Munich, who will say goodbye to Pep Guardiola after three seasons and three straight semifinal exits in the Champions League to Spanish teams. Carlo Ancelotti is taking over at Bayern. What is next for Bayern under their new manager?
Well, there's a third place game first, isn't there?
If only.
No, I think Ancelotti's going to go back to the Jupp Heynckes model a little bit more. It's not going to be as possession driven as much as it is going to be a little bit more direct, which kind of makes you question what exactly the point of Pep was, because he seemed to bring in the Spanish style into the German, the German machine. And he brought in this Spanish style of football and kind of melded it in with what they had going at Bayern. But at the end of the day, the goal was to repeat the treble, win the Champions League in particular. That was the big prize. And he loses to Real, Barca, Atletico, the three Spanish teams that have been, this has been their era as well. So I'm not entirely sure what to make of it, in the sense that I think that it's going to kind of revert back to Ancelotti's going to come in. He's going to, use Lewandowski as the point man. They're going to go up those wings a little bit more, not focus as much on possession as much as fast-paced attacks. A lot what he did with the 2014 Real Madrid team, where, hey, our quality is just going to beat you for pace, beat you for lightning quick speed, and we have the quality to actually score in front of goal, which they do. Now, that being said, one thing I do want to say about Pep, I've never seen this before, the balls when they went out of bounds in that second semifinal. The way that they had the two-ball system going with every ball boy on the outsides having a ball ready to go. That was German efficiency and Pep's maniacal managing outside the bounds of the field of play to have it to that extreme where they're like, oh, we're not wasting a second on Atletico Madrid's tactics. But it's still incredible to me. I think it's going to go back to – it's going to be a lot more direct. It's going to be – back then they had Ribéry and Robin on the wings. And, Muller is still obviously, I think, going to be around. But I think there's going to be some turnover. It'd be interesting to see who Pep actually brings over to City with him, too.
I'm not entirely sure you can just overlook Diego Costa and Coman on the wings. But regardless of that, I think that Bayern is really struggling themselves to kind of decide if Guardiola was a failure or a success. I mean, they're saying publicly that it was a success because he made the team better, right? But he didn't do as well as the guy who had been fired for him, midway through his final season did when Jupp Heynckes won the treble. So that's something they're struggling with. You can point to if Thomas Müller converts that penalty, then Bayern's in the final and everything is hunky-dory. So that's kind of the cruelty of soccer, I suppose. But I think what's just as interesting is what happens now with Pep when he goes to Manchester City, because I don't think he could be stepping into a more challenging job at a major club, because I think that he's basically buying this old house where that needs just a complete and total gut job, and every single room has to be redecorated. And he hasn't had a job like that before, because Barcelona needed some work, obviously, when he stepped into that job in, I think it was 2008, I want to say. And Bayern Munich had just won the treble when he took that job. So in that regard, this is entirely uncharted waters for him. So I think, you know, going from one losing semifinalist to the other is going to be fascinating.
Let's get into that. What does Pep exactly have to work with at Man City?
Not Yaya Toure. He's getting subbed out at 60 minutes is probably a foreshadowing to what's coming up next.
That was guaranteed.
I mean, the way his positioning today was just so bizarre, because they started him in kind of the hole in like the David Silva role almost, and then they kind of made the adjustment and they put him back and had Fernandinho kind of making more runs going forward. And then they just pulled him all together and put in Sterling. It was just one of those things where you were just kind of scratching your head going, they really cannot find a place for Yaya to play on this team. And this is before Pep shows up.
He was still bitter about the birthday party.
I just think that there's definitely a lot of work that needs to be done in City. And one thing that they had today, they just sleepwalked through that second leg of the semifinal. It was right there because, you know, I don't think any of us thinks Real Madrid was dominant. I mean, maybe the stats say one thing about expected goals and things like that, but they were there for the taking. City needed one goal today. One goal at the Bernabeu against that defense is not an impossible ask, especially with some of the players that City has. It's just they have a lack of creativity to the side once David Silva went down in the first leg, and Yaya Toure was all kinds out of position and still trying to regain his fitness and all that. And you've only got one or two guys that can maybe create something. That's probably why you see City linked with, you know, Paul Pogba, for example, on the transfer market, names like that, because they need an infusion of playmaking and creativity in addition to other things. So I do think it is an interesting point Leander brings up, because this is the most challenging job that Pep's going to walk into, and this is part of the reason I wrote that, you know, a few months ago, that when he was hired, this is going to be fun to watch, because now in some ways, in some senses, you're going to finally get to see Pep Guardiola team build and manage, where he hasn't been thrust into that situation before.
Yeah, I was just going to say, you know, looking at this second leg semifinal where they actually needed to come out and play. And you look at, they needed a goal when it came, you know, when their back was up against the walls. The best player that today you could argue was Jesus Navas. You know, like Raheem Sterling couldn't even get a start, and he was their big signing this summer. Wilfred Bony couldn't even get on the field. Like, you need a goal, and you can't put in Bony because he hasn't been good enough. Kelechi's been better than him.
Yep.
So, and he's a kid. So you look at this team, I mean, there's a full overhaul coming. Company, you know, comes off, and that's definitely a point that should not be overlooked. But he's had, you know, muscular injuries now pretty regularly. It you can't entirely rely on him. You know, you look at the defense, like, they need to make some changes there. You look at the midfield, have to make changes there. De Bruyne is probably a good player that should hang around. Aguero, you could say he's good enough. I'm not sure necessarily, you know, Pep would say he's the right size for his striker or what he wants from him. I mean, he's got the quality. No one's questioning Aguero's consistency that's kind of been up and down lately. But yeah, when you look at it, I mean, Pep could walk in and say, oh, all that Premier League TV money, I'm spending it on a whole new squad, because mm-hmm. I really do need a whole new squad, and no one would stop him from doing that.
And I think it's an interesting contrast, because when kind of going back to Bayern Munich for a second, Ancelotti's walking into a situation where, yes, there's going to need to be changes. There's going to be familiar names that are offloaded. You know, Ribery and Robin probably aren't long for the club anymore. They might, because especially with, you know, Costa and Coleman and wingers that can kind of do those jobs. And Ancelotti's getting gifted a center back in Mats Hummels, one of the best in the world, who said, I would like to join the club. And if nothing else, that won't fix everything that's wrong defensively with Bayern Munich and won't make them entirely unshaky, but that'll definitely be a huge boon to them. And so he can really just kind of identify a couple areas, you know, a defensive midfielder, Xabi Alonso's not getting any younger, a second striker they're rumored to be looking for behind, someone not so much you can play along alongside Lewandowski but can spell him for games here and there and things like that. So you got a couple little fixes. Meanwhile, as you said, Guardiola might have to uproot the entire house with a couple of exceptions in Manchester.
With Hummels, you know, going to Bayern, they can finally go to the reversible shirt with Bayern on one side and Germany on the other.
Germany, yeah.
Guys, we got to wrap things up because Lander has to go somewhere. So,
we can't just sit here and talk trash about him.
No, I guess.
One thing I did want to pop in real quick is, Pep. We all focus on the treble that Bayern won right before Pep came in, but Bayern had been in the 2010 Champions League final, 2012 Champions League final, 2013 they finally won it and did the Heinkes treble, but that team had been good. It's not like they've just kind of been fluttering here and there. Klopp had done something tremendous in Bundesliga, and he'd won the domestic title and kind of done it for a couple of years, and that kind of it put Bayern in a bit of disarray domestically. But in Europe, and the quality in that squad never really deteriorated, never really fell off. Going to City is not the same thing. I mean, this team is. They're playing Arsenal this weekend. They could very well drop out of the top four positions, once Manchester United actually catches up on the matches played, because this weekend is actually a make-or-break weekend for the top four.
Just with the parity alone in the Premier League, and everyone else has buying power, it's not like in the Bundesliga where Bayern throws its weight around. He is stepping into a different challenge, and as Leander said, it might be his most difficult one. Guys, we got to go. Please subscribe to the FC Yahoo Soccer podcast on iTunes and read all of our stuff on the latest news and buzzy moments in the FC Yahoo blog on Yahoo Sports. For Shahan Ahmed, Joey Galino, Leander Charlakins, I'm Joe Lago. You've been listening to the FC Yahoo Soccer podcast. So long.